Now that we've seen Zay Flowers in the combine, we've seen Zay Flowers in his pro day. Now it begs the question, what team's going to draft him?
You are Locked On Boston College, your daily podcast on the Boston College Eagles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This is Locked On BC. I'm your host, AJ Black. Thank you all for listening. Happy Tuesday. Today, I'm joined by Mitch Wolf, and we're going to talk about the pro day, but we're going to start off by kicking it off to talk about the man himself, Zay Flowers. Mitch, how's it going?
It's going well. I'm excited to be back on the pod. It's been a minute, but you know, we're deep in the thick of pro day season, which is exciting, and I've been grinding away at film, so it's nice to kind of come back and talk about our BC guys.
And of course, any conversation like this needs to start with Zay Flowers. And I think he's been the talk of everything Boston College related right now. As you know, as I've been saying on the podcast, the potential first wide receiver pick by some folks, other folks have him just as a first round draft pick. Mitch, look, I want to hear your thoughts. We haven't had you on in a while. I don't think since the combine. Tell me a little bit about what your thoughts are on Zay and where he stands right now.
Right now, Zay is still my wide receiver two. I have him behind Jackson, or actually, him and Jordan Addison are tied essentially in my grading system. So I have obviously a bias towards Zay, so but they're behind Jackson Smith and Jigba from Ohio State for me still now. Just because even though Jigba doesn't have elite speed, his agilities, his route running, everything else is fantastic. And he's a little bigger; he's more normally sized than Zay, so you feel a little bit better about that. But Zay is still my wide receiver too. I have him firmly as a first round prospect in this class. I think in maybe really deeper wide receiver classes, especially with elite talent at the top, he might be in that kind of middling range, but in this class, he's a pretty firm first round pick for me.
Now you sent me a tweet, and I kind of talked a little bit about it yesterday, but I want your perspective on it. Bill Connolly sent out a graph of all the routes that Zay Flowers ran. Can you kind of talk a little bit about what that graph kind of showed?
Yeah, it's hard to kind of describe in an audio format, but one of the graphs that he had for Zay was showing all of his routes, and it's kind of just like on a, essentially like on a sheet of paper that looks like a football field and shows all of his routes, kind of his black lines. And I think I saw one guy reply and say, it looks like an M.C. Escher painting, because I mean, it just looks like, you know, a kid kind of was just scribbling for hours, because the routes are everywhere. You know, there's no, like you said in the podcast yesterday, there's no discernible pattern to which routes he's specifically using, where he's aligning. They had another graph that showed all the places that he lines up before the snap. And, you know, even though, you know, a lot of people talk about Jackson Smith and Jigba's slot only receiver, which I would agree with. But and even though Zay is smaller and he's probably going to be a slot primary receiver in the NFL, he showed that you can really align him anywhere in terms of the slot, outside, even if you want to kind of align him in a condensed formation, if you want to put him in the backfield sometimes, he can do that. So it really displays his versatility as a receiver and just as a player in general.
Hold on. I think I have it for you if you want to see it. Can you see it?
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, I mean, this looks like just like scribblings. You know, you see maybe a little less deeper down the field, but that just, you know, that just makes sense, because, you know, if you have fewer routes, there is going to go that deep in general. So, but yeah, and then the other one of the other interesting graphs was kind of showing all the passes and where they kind of are targeted on his body in terms of, like, are they at his chest? Are they above him, below him, left, right, what have you? And I think I could really only see two drops that were kind of in his frame. And frankly, because I've watched these games so many times, I'm pretty sure I can think of exactly which throws they were. I know one of them was a Florida State drop. I know one of them was a Louisville drop that was a throw behind him. And I think one of them was the UConn drop deep down the sideline. But really everything else that's at his body and kind of within a reasonable catch frame, like, he's catching. But it was kind of funny seeing how many throws were just nowhere near his body or his frame. And that just tells you, yeah, this graph, if you're watching on YouTube, where you can see, you know, a lot of catches that are he's able to make even outside his frame, but then there are some that are just wildly inaccurate. Again, I think Zay is an extremely complete receiving prospect, even despite his size. And I mean, frankly, if you're a coaching staff that's like, oh yeah, we're going to use him primarily as an X receiver, that, you know, we're going to send him on go routes and ask him to win contested 50-50 balls, then you shouldn't be coaching the NFL, because that's just not, you're just not using his skill set in the best way possible. So, yeah, I mean, I think that everything we're seeing about Zay has been positive. You know, he's had a lot of meetings. I've found that he had combined meetings with the Bills, Vikings, Steelers, Buccaneers, and Cowboys. Obviously, there was the report that he had dinner maybe the same night with the New York Giants and New Orleans Saints, to which I ask, AJ, if you had to have two dinners back to back, what's your call for where you're eating?
Not the North End.
No, I mean, and if he does, I mean, we know that Zay's been packing on weight recently, but it's been muscle. But I feel like carbo loading in the North End and back to back meals would be quite the feat.
Halfley made a joke about that in his press conference. He said he put on 12 pounds, but if the way his dinners were all lined up, he's going to put on another 5 more the night before pro day.
Yeah. Yeah. That was crazy. But, yeah, I mean, and I'm trying to kind of see if I can track down any more, meetings with teams. I think a lot of teams are going to be interested, and we'll get into that. And I think, honestly, I kind of find it interesting that the Giants and the Saints were the two teams that were leaked about having dinner with him, because honestly, at this rate, I feel like those teams are a little out of his range. Like, that might be too late to get him. So I'm wondering if they're kicking the tires and say, like, hey, do we need to trade up to get this guy? Or are the teams ahead of them that I think that are more likely to take him, are they playing their cards more close to the vest because they want to make sure they can get him? Whereas the Giants and Saints are saying, oh, you know, we kind of know now that we're not going to be in a position to draft him without trading up.
So watching his workouts, what were some of the things that impressed you most?
I mean, it's pretty much the same thing we've been saying, you know, really since he, you know, started playing for BC. I mean, the quickness. I mean, I think the funniest thing, and I'm pretty sure he did this at the combine too, is he's running these routes in sweatpants, and like, not like especially baggy sweatpants, but, you know, he's not running out there running them in tights, and he still looks just as explosive as he would, you know, in his football pads or if he was wearing, you know, kind of that combine jumpsuit thing they have. So, you know, nothing really new from him. I thought it was interesting that they had him catching punts via a jugs machine, which is something that I felt Zay really struggled with when he was asked to be the punt returner this year for, I think, about half the season. So I think teams would be more interested to see him do that in a live setting as opposed to just fielding punts via a jugs machine and catching them on air.
So in a moment, I'm going to ask Mitch his teams that he thinks that would be a good fit for Boston College wide receiver Zay Flowers. I want to hear his perspective and get a better feel of what other teams could draft him. And the answer had better be the New England Patriots for me, but we'll get into that in just a moment. The tournament is heating up, and there's no better place to get in on the action than FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. That's because right now FanDuel is giving new customers a no sweat first bet of up to $1,000. When you go to FanDuel, you just go to FanDuel.com/lockedon and sign up today to claim your no sweat first bet. Then you can wager on everything from the money line to point spreads to which team will be cutting down the net. And right now, if you want to be like me, you can bet against UConn. I think that's my betting wagers for the rest of this is anyone but UConn. And then go over to FanDuel, get the latest odds. It's all in the app. That's safe, secure, and super easy to use. So don't miss your shot at a no sweat first bet up to $1,000 when you join FanDuel today. Just go to FanDuel.com/lockedon to sign up. Make every moment more with FanDuel. Locked On BC, AJ Black here. And we are talking about Zay and his NFL draft, his NFL draft prospects, which is obviously great, and a potential first round draft pick. Most mock drafts have him as a first rounder. I've seen a few that have him dropping out of it, which I don't get, but Mitch, I want to hear you're very in tune with the NFL. Tell me some teams that you think would be a good fit for Zay.
So I'll actually start off with the teams that I don't think would be a fit, because I think that there's fewer of them. So we can kind of get through them quickly. So there are four teams that I'm saying are kind of off the table, and that's essentially just because they don't have the draft capital either in the first few rounds or first round, or they don't have enough, you know, capital to trade up and get him because they just don't have those picks. So San Francisco 49ers, Denver Broncos, Cleveland Browns all don't pick until the third round. So those teams essentially are out for Zay. Miami Dolphins are similarly out there. They pick 51st, I think, in the second round. And they're kind of lacking some draft capital because they just traded for Jalen Ramsey a few weeks ago. So, and especially because they have, you know, the two fastest wide receivers in the NFL and Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. So adding, as fun as adding Zay to that equation would be, that just doesn't really make a lot of sense to me. In terms of the non-fits, and this is kind of both based on the players they have, the players they signed, and where they drafted, kind of what their team needs are. So those teams would be the Panthers, the Texans, the Cardinals, the Raiders, the Bears, the Lions, the Jets, the Commanders, the Steelers, the Jaguars, and the Rams. The Rams also don't have a first-round pick, but they do have a pick early in the second, so there's a way that they could if they wanted to, but again, I don't really see that fit. A lot of these teams, like the Bears, and you know, maybe could use him, but now that they just traded for DJ Moore, they just acquired Chase Claypool. They've got some young guys they like. I think we could see the Jets parting with some picks, so I don't think we'll. And they've got plenty. They're shipping off wide receivers. They don't need to be acquiring anymore. So I have a few wild cards, and these are teams that I think he would be a good fit on, but they might have some heuristics that they adhere to in terms of the players they draft, or they're kind of just out of the range and they don't necessarily need him, or it wouldn't be a good use of that pick. So those would be the Atlanta Falcons and the Tennessee Titans. And those two I've listed because I think he would be fit well on those teams and they need wide receivers, but they pick a little too early. And also I feel like the receivers they want are bigger and better blockers. Similar with the Green Bay Packers, they have a rule about they have to draft receivers who are more than 200 pounds. Granted, they are pretty dire straits of receivers, so maybe they would break that rule. It's possible, but I would say unlikely. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they could use a wide receiver, but if you look at their draft history, they always like drafting guys who are very large and like crazy athletic. So think of guys like Tristan Wirfs, OJ Howard a while ago. They drafted Joe Tryon Shoyinka, so Vita Vea, you know, guys who are, and Zay's a great athlete and all, but he's tiny, we know that. And then the other one for the wild cards is the Bengals, who they could use a third receiver as Tyler Boyd is getting up there, and I think he might be entering a contract year soon. And Zay would provide a very different element for that offense, but I just think they're drafting too late. So the teams that I think are good fits, and there's 12 of them, would be the New England Patriots, Seattle Seahawks, Baltimore Ravens, Los Angeles Chargers, Minnesota Vikings, New York Giants, Dallas Cowboys, Buffalo Bills, New Orleans Saints, Philadelphia Eagles, Kansas City Chiefs, and Indianapolis Colts. So I'll start with the first and last. So the Patriots, I think, are drafting too high. I think he would fit in terms of they need receivers. He's probably the best slot receiver they have on that team, but they have a lot of slot type receivers already. They just signed Juju Smith-Schuster to a pretty decent deal. They still have Kendrick Bourne. I'm trying to think there are other receivers off the top of my head on their depth chart, but given their other needs, you know, they really need a guy at corner. They need some defensive line help. I just don't think that that's the direction they would go. The last team, the Indianapolis Colts, obviously their first round pick is fourth overall or third overall. So I don't think they pick him there, obviously. And I don't think he would make it to their second round pick, but if he does, they could really use him. So that's a possibility. The range of picks 20, which is the Seattle Seahawks, to pick 28, which is the New Orleans Saints. Pretty much all those teams, minus the Jacksonville Jaguars, I could see him being a good fit for. Seahawks definitely need a third receiver. Tyler Lockett's getting up there, and a lot of people comp Zay to Tyler Lockett, and that would be a great guy to learn from him. Baltimore Ravens, as has been well documented, desperately need wide receiver help. A lot of people think that they would want to go for a bigger blocking receiver. I think they just need guys, so I think he could fit there. Apparently, they were also very in on him at the Shrine game, even when on the one day he was practicing, they were obsessed with him. So that's something to think about. Los Angeles Chargers, they need some receiver help as well, especially with Justin Herbert approaching getting his big contract extension. And you have Keenan Allen getting up there in age, and Mike Williams is kind of an injury risk. And also he's approaching the end of his deal. Minnesota Vikings actually could use a third receiver, and pairing him with Justin Jefferson would be amazing. Giants need wide receiver help. I'm not sure about the fit as much there because they have a lot of those type of guys. They re-signed Sterling Shepard. They just drafted Wandale Robinson. So they have kind of that body type. Cowboys could use a third receiver. That would be really fun. Him, CeeDee Lamb, and I guess Michael Gallup is still there. Buffalo Bills, again, Rich getting richer. Put him in the slot with Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis outside. New Orleans Saints, again, the team that met with him, I think that'd be a fun fit. Him and Chris Olave and Michael Thomas would be really interesting. A lot of those guys are slot receivers, so maybe not as much of a fit, but that could be interesting. And then Eagles and Chiefs, again, if he falls there, you know, I would say both those teams could use a speedy third receiver. So just adding him to those equations for the teams that were in the Super Bowl would just be rich getting richer.
So interesting. Yeah, I've always thought 14 for the Pats, and given that the I mean, I'm just talking from my perspective, is a little too early, and they have much bigger needs than Zay.
I mean, the Patriots rarely do it, and the last time they did was N'Keal Harry, and who couldn't be much different, more different than as possible than Zay Flowers. So I still think that that's just not going to happen.
Yep. Nope. So if you were to predict, if I asked you to put your crystal ball on, which team are you going to pick that would draft him?
If I had to, it's tough for me right now to pick one, but I will say, I think the range of Seahawks, Ravens, Chargers, I think it's going to be one of those three teams. I think that's kind of right in the wheelhouse of where a lot of teams will rank him. All of those teams have needs at that position. The Seahawks are always kind of funky with who they draft. They're always kind of, it seems to be always like a surprising pick. Not that this would be a huge surprise, but, you know, picking Zay at 20 would be like, oh, that's could be a bit of a reach, but it's the Seahawks. They traditionally draft decently well. Ravens, again, the need is so dire, you know, despite signing Nelson Agholor, and they're obviously going through a whole thing with Lamar Jackson. And, you know, I think the Chargers, looking down the road, they could really use a guy like Zay Flowers who can be a field stretcher for Justin Herbert. I think it'd be funny if they went Boston College guys in first round and back-to-back years. For that reason, I would say that that's probably less likely. So I guess if I did have to put my money on it, I would probably pick the Ravens. And as a Steelers fan, that breaks my heart in that I would have to be rooting against Zay for the rest of his career as long as he's in Baltimore. So, but I guess if I had to pick one, that would be the one.
All right. I think I agree with you right now. But if they trade Lamar Jackson, I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but it'll be interesting to see how they kind of reassess where their team
is. Well, whoever
at.
Their next quarterback is going to need receivers too. So it doesn't really matter.
Right. But they might need to rebuild more. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So in a moment, I'm going to talk to Mitch a little bit about the other guys. So there were three or four other BC players that were at Pro Day. I want to get Mitch's take on those players. We'll get that into that in just a moment. This is Locked On BC, AJ Black, and we are talking Pro Day and some of the other players because there were some other Eagles that are hoping to get their name called. And I think the biggest name that I think folks are wanting to hear more about is Jaden Woodby, who is a safety linebacker. There he is with the safety shirt on for the Eagles. And, you know, we've talked before that there's potential of him getting drafted. Mitch, kind of talk a little bit about what you heard about, what some of the numbers might look like, not numbers, but like just general sense for Jaden Woodby.
So I was hoping to come on here with the official numbers. However, my source who had the official numbers from the Pro Day asked for quiet. So what I did is I put the Pro Day numbers into the Relative Athletic Score Formula, RAS, which is maintained by Kent Lee Platt at MathBomb on Twitter. It's a fantastic resource. I highly recommend you guys check that out. So I put all the official numbers into that formula essentially, and it spits out essentially like a Z-score of how well the player performed at his position with his size relative to the rest of the players at his position and players of his similar size. So I will also say this, and I'll be intentionally vague. The official time for Jaden Woodby's 40 was not as great as initially reported, but I think that there's been a good amount of variance on that among teams. I saw tweets about him running. The tweets I saw were in the, so those were okay. His agilities were really good. I just said the numbers. I'm an idiot. Well, anyways, that they're just the jumps. And actually those jumps were on Twitter on video. So you can go see those on Twitter. The agility grades, the shuttle and three cone were really good, elite even. But when you put all these numbers into the formula, it spits out an RAS of 5.26 for Jaden as a linebacker, which it's okay. The other thing that I found interesting was his bench was very good. And actually he got a number of reps knocked off because of, sometimes they do that if you do something wrong with your technique, like if you're not locking out enough or if your hips get raised. So he had a few reps knocked off of that, but he very good bench number for a guy of his size. But if you redo the formula and essentially kind of give him, I essentially gave him a 4.7 in the 40, 4.7 flat, because that's kind of, I would say that was on the low end of what was being reported. And that bumps his RAS to a 7.22, which is better. I would say in general, you were kind of hoping for better numbers given that positional switch. You're hoping that, okay, he's doing this because maybe the athleticism isn't as great, but maybe he can test well for a linebacker. And I would say, like, some were good, some were not so good. I would say that the agility grades being very good are helpful. It depends on who you ask, but the speed could be bad, it could be good. So I think it was overall a solid day for Jaden. It seems like he did all the drills, which is good to see. You want to see him being versatile in that manner. But again, I mean, the thing with Jaden is he's going to have to start out his career as a special teams ace. That's pretty much all he's going to be doing for most of his rookie year if he plays. And I think long term, that's where he carves out a niche as a player. I think that I've comped him to Kevin Pierre-Louis, who has been a special teams demon in the NFL ever since he got there. Guys like Duke Riley, who came out of LSU, has been on a bunch of teams. You know, there you can make a living doing that. And I think long term, that's kind of where Jaden's NFL future is because of his off field, his leadership, his work ethic, all that stuff. Like that's what you want from the guy on special teams. So that's kind of where I see him figuring into the NFL formula.
We have a question up on the board. Is he looking at safety or linebacker in the pros, you think?
Oh, definitely linebacker. And with the official 40, absolutely linebacker. And he's bulked up to 230 pounds. That was from the Shrine game. So I think he kind of knew that was the plan. And basically based on how BC used him, especially this past year, he was basically a de facto linebacker anyways. Like he was in the box on the vast majority of his snaps, occasionally kicked out to the slot if he was covering a running back or tight end there. But I mean, he's a box defender. That's pretty much what it is.
All right, let's look at the two other players. We're not going to talk about Kobe White because he's not.
I did not get numbers on him, so I don't know.
I don't think that much got out on him. So let's look at Marcus Valdez next.
Yeah, so I would say Marcus Valdez had a pretty. I would say it was a positively surprising day for him. His speed scores were good. His jumps were solid. His agilities were pretty solid. It had a good bench. His RAS figured out to a 6.24 as a defensive end. He had 10-inch hands, which is good. 31-inch arms, not so good because
he's short.
He's a shorter player. He's 6 foot, 259 pounds. Like that's just natural. That's naturally going to happen. Also, those are measurements, so hopefully I don't get in trouble for that. But because I didn't really reveal his drills, although his jumps were on Twitter as well. But with Valdez, I thought it was interesting that they also had him run through fullback drills. And the conversion from defensive line to fullback actually is a pretty decent tradition in the NFL. And I could see, I mean, if Valdez really wants to keep playing football, I think that could be his future. You know, if he drops a little bit of weight, gets down to the 245, 250 range, you know, maybe gets a little more speed and agility back. I actually ran him as a fullback and his RAS worked out to be 6.80. So pretty solid. So I don't really think he has a long-term future in the NFL just because the athleticism wasn't great. He's undersized, he's an older prospect, and just based on the trends and, you know, the likelihood of those variables working out, that's just a really tough road to hoe.
All right, and then finally, I think probably the least likely is Chibuzi Nwuka.
Yeah, and, you know, everything I said about Valdez and kind of his thing, it kind of goes doubly so for Nwuka, who, you know, was a undersized nose tackle. His speed scores were decent. His jumps were eh. His three cone was really good. But I can kind of explain that away because he's, again, relatively short, relatively squat, lower center of gravity, shorter player. You can go around those cones a little quicker. But, you know, for a guy like him who's coming in sub 6 foot, sub 290, you got to be a really good athlete to survive like that. You know, think about guys like Aaron Donald, guy coming out this year, Kalijah Kancey from Pitt. You got to be super athletic to make it at that size. Otherwise, you're going to get bowled over and even out athleted by offensive linemen. So his RAS worked out to a 4.08. So, you know, below the midline. These are all out of 10, by the way, just to be clear.
Yep.
So below average for a defensive tackle even. So, and I just really don't see it for Boozy, you know, given that he is, again, undersized, under-athletic, older player, has some injury history. You know, it's unfortunate, but, you know, the NFL has, you know, it's a 53-man roster on 32 teams. There's only so many spots, and they're looking for, like, you know, the top 1%, the top 1%. So, yep. And just not everybody can be that. So, you know, it's a shame for him, but, yeah, I mean, it was interesting. We didn't really get any other numbers on the other guys that were kind of the ancillary players. I imagine Kobe White, unfortunately, you know, the kind of the injuries have just caught up with him at this point, unfortunately. But yeah, those are the numbers I can give out.
All right. Well, thank you, Mitch. Mitch, where can people find your work?
You can find me at Mitchell T. Wolf, W-O-L-F-E, on Twitter. I recently started working for FanSided for their Steelers website. So if you're one of the few BC Steelers fans, I know that Venn diagram overlap is very small, but if you're interested in checking out some Steelers stuff, you can head over there to Steel Curtain for FanSided. And then also I'll be kind of doing some draft stuff for them as well. So you can kind of get some of my thoughts on other prospects in general. But again, yeah, mostly if you just want to follow me on Twitter at Mitchell T. Wolf, W-O-L-F-E.
All right, and this is AJ Black. Follow my work at Eagle Insider. Make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel. We had some graphs and pictures up that you had, you may not have seen if you were watching or following along on a podcast. So get on our YouTube, subscribe today. Thank you all so much. We'll be back tomorrow to talk more recruiting, transfer portal goodies, and much more. Thank you all so much for listening. We'll be seeing you again soon. Take care.